the regular agenda. If you could read the next item, please.
Item 56, extend term of a franchise granted to Olympic Pipeline Company to transport petroleum products by pipeline.
So this is a legacy ordinance. It's an existing pipeline in the city. This ordinance and extension complies with the city's new fossil fuels policy. This is not a pipeline expansion. The reason the Office of Community Technology wants this extension is to negotiate some basic safety measures into the franchise agreement, which are similar to what exists in other existing pipeline franchises. Once the franchise agreement is renegotiated, this is going to come back to the City Council for a vote on the new franchise agreement. I've asked Jennifer Lee from the Office of Community Technology and Ben Walters from the City Attorney's Office to come and give us a quick briefing on this. Thank you both for being here.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners.
Good morning.
Jennifer Lee from the Office for Community Technology, Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services. You've already covered a lot of what I was going to say. So just briefly, our office has the responsibility for negotiating and managing franchise agreements on the behalf of the city. This agenda item would extend the term for the current franchise agreement for Olympic Pipeline. City Council granted the original franchise to Olympic Pipeline in 1989 to use the streets. The current franchise is set to expire this month. City staff have been in discussions with the company for a new renewal franchise agreement. However, we need additional time to negotiate a modern franchise, as you put it, to replace the franchise from 1989. The extension would give us what I hope to be ample time to not only negotiate a new agreement, but also to complete the formal franchising process required by the city charter. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
And I'm Ben Walters with the City Attorney's Office. I'm just here in case there's any questions. You've had a busy agenda this morning, and you still have a lot of work left to do. So in case there aren't any questions, I'll just wait to.
Colleagues, any questions? That was easy. Is there any public testimony on this item?
I do not have a sheet for this.
Is there anybody here who would like to testify on this item? Come on up, please. And the usual, if you could introduce yourself, 3 minutes, please.
Yeah, I'm Jay Wilkins, and I'm going to get boos and hisses again when I talk about this. I have problems with people that protest pipelines, whether they be oil, gas, whatever, if they use the gas or cars or whatever. I'm just saying is that anybody who really protests pipelines, they should be safe, or is basically making an anarchistic statement like this is causing global warming, yet they use these things. And I wish the City Council would just ignore those as anarchistic ideas. Maybe 100 years from now we'll look back and say we shouldn't have had natural gas, we all should have had solar panels on our house or whatever, you know, and electric blankets. But right now that's not the way people do, and I find it kind of hypocritical. That's the way I look at it. Just, you know, this is a present day. People drive around in cars, and they shouldn't complain that some oil pipeline is on somebody's land, as long as it's safe.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Charles Bridge Crane Johnson, and hooray for the Office of Community Technology. But one thing, first of all, I'm a big fan of unity. I hope we will see a lot of united people on Saturday. In response to the Trump inauguration the day after. But in other places, we have unified city-county government. And not only do we not have that here, we don't have a unified Department of Public Safety. So the Fire Bureau and the Police Bureau have their individual heads. And I think that this opportunity for a pipeline franchise poses some public safety risks that are a little bit different than when you deal with a cable franchise or a telephone franchise. And I hope that Olympic, as they pursue this franchise, will find the maximum amount of free time and employee resources of their employees so that the director of the Fire Bureau and Chief Marshman's designee can have a robust discussion about safety and pipelines. We should get our money's worth. This is an existing infrastructure pipeline, so I'm not, you know, going to freak out Shedrick with any worries about shutting it down. But we just mentioned that the Water Bureau wants to be resilient for the big one. And when Olympic comes and says they want to continue to do business in the city of Portland, within their budget and resources, I think they can have time to have specialists of theirs talk to the people at the Fire Bureau and the Police Bureau about other bad pipeline experiences, things where there have been mistakes, and how Portland can be on the cutting edge so that Olympic can continue to operate safely in Portland. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Nancy Newell. I've lived in Portland probably 24 years now, and I have had the experience of defending our water in many situations, our drinking water. And today is a very critical day because this is a corporation that on the surface, you're talking about a mechanical contract. You're talking about a lot more than that. This is the beginning of the West Coast Infrastructure Exchange, which you as treasurer promoted and have made our water privatized because the banks own the debt on the water because of your program.
It's not true.
Well, the Winona Howder Food and Water Watch has started 60 cases across the United States because in the year 2000, a friend of mine was water commissioner in Tualatin, and she attended all the corporations that were lining up to privatize water across the U.S., and that has happened. So they have at least 60 cases throughout the United States already to try to prevent this. And I've warned people on Enron. I've warned people, and I've had effect on Enron, and I've had effect in other ways. But this is very troubling because this is the commons. And not only that, it's the essence of life. And when people pay prices on it, they don't just pay at their home. They pay at everything that they purchase that relates to water. So you're talking about expenses that will accelerate for the individuals in this city and will be deprived of water. When you are deprived of water, there are major health issues involved, so then government has to make more money in order to cover those costs. And some of those are long-term illnesses with mental illness. And if you don't look at the qualities and the value of water, you've really missed the point. And you're looking at it with a corporation that is a known control corporation. We won't even know what's in our water because they've already started doing that across the United States. I don't think this decision is valid, number one. It can be challenged in court, number two. It will be challenged. And I think it wastes a lot of your time and money to promote this and especially to work with this corporation. So I hope today that you will listen to reasoning, give more time for the public to give consideration because I didn't even hear the water issues brought up in the campaign, the mayoral campaign, and that is really a community tragedy. And I was also not treated properly, as your wife indicated, when I brought up the issue to you at a coffee shop. So I think it's time to pause and really seriously consider what this means. It's not just about structure or mechanical. It's about our water and life access to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further public testimony on this matter?
Mayor, if I might make a comment before we pass it to second reading.
Sure.
I just wanted to thank Jennifer Lee and the Office for Community Technology of all of the hirings that I've been involved in over my 8 years. Yours is one of the most satisfying. Thank you very much for all your good work.
Very good. Anything else before we pass this along? So this is non-emergency. It moves to a second reading. Sue, you can call the next item.
Item 57, authorized contract with the lowest responsible bidder for construction of Mount Scott Arleta Sewer Rehabilitation Project for $1,910,000.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to welcome Scott Gibson and Margaret Russell, who are with us, to walk us through a contract. This matter would authorize a contract with the lowest responsible bidder for construction of the Mount Scott Arleta Sewer Rehabilitation Project. Now, as my colleagues know, the average age of the pipes in this area is about 90 years old. This ordinance would authorize repair and rehabilitation of 5,500 lineal feet of the public sewer pipe. Construction would begin in April and last about 1 year, and Scott's here to fill us in on the details. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
And commissioners. My name is Scott Gibson. I'm a principal engineer at the Bureau of Environmental Services. My team at the Bureau provides project management, engineering and design services in support of the Bureau's construction projects. With me here today is Margaret Russell. She's an engineering associate Senior Engineering Associate with the Bureau, and she's also our project manager for this effort. As Commissioner Fish mentioned, we are here today asking to approve an ordinance authorizing the execution of a contract for construction of the Mount Scott Arleta Sewer Rehabilitation Project. The current estimate for this contract is $1.9 million. If the ordinance is approved, the Chief Procurement Officer will return to Council with her report on the procurement results. This project is a part of BS's large-scale sewer rehabilitation program. Specifically, Mount Scott Arleta is the 28th project of a planned 39. To date, we've rehabilitated 41 miles of failing or failed sewers over three phases. Margaret has a very short presentation for you which describes the specifics of this project. Margaret.
Hello. As mentioned, Mount Scott Arleta is part of the large-scale sewer rehabilitation program. The slide you see shows other large-scale projects in yellow, but the Mount Scott Arleta project is in green. It is bound on Southeast 46th and Southeast 82nd. Its northern boundary is Holgate, and its southern boundary is Duke. This slide shows some of the typical defects that you would see on mainline pipe. At the top are cracks and some deteriorated pipe. The lower two slides show lateral connections to the mainline pipe. The one is a dropped connection, and the other is a hole at the mainline. This project will rehabilitate mains, sewer service laterals, and manholes, and it will protect public health, property, and the environment, increase sewer system capacity and reliability, and reduce the risk of sewer releases to home, businesses, and streets. It will be rehabilitating 22 segments of pipe, approximately 1 mile. The diameter of pipe are 8 inches to 30 inches. The average age of the pipe is 90 years old. 92% of the construction is going to be on residential streets and 8% on major streets. The construction methods will be about 50% open-cut trench construction. The other half will be CIPP, cure-in-place lining, which is a trenchless lining of pipe. BES public involvement has done extensive outreach. This is a picture of a map that was sent out to the community members. We have contacted residents, neighborhood and business associations, schools, TriMet and ODOT, as well as the Apostolic Faith Church. There will be work near two schools, Arleta and Woodstock Elementary. Also, there will be construction in a small section of the Apostolic Faith Church parking lot. We have limited construction in these areas as to not impact the schools and the church. Also, concerning night work and a noise variance, there are two locations. At Southeast 50th, we are lining a 30-inch diameter pipe. That will take 12 hours to cure, so we need a night work. And there will be night work at Southeast 82nd, which is a major highway, where we will do open-cut construction at night. As mentioned, the engineer's estimate is $1.9 million. We have a high level of confidence in this project. We have done similar projects and feel we've taken care of and have knowledgeable about any possible issues. As mentioned, we hope to start advertising late January, start construction in April, and it will be a one-year construction contract. That's all. Do you have any questions?
Questions? Is there any public testimony on this item?
I do not have a sheet up.
Is there anybody who'd like to testify on this item? Come on up.
On the issue of sewers, I'm Jay Wilkins. On the issues of sewers, 20 years ago we started sewer and water project. I think as energy costs go up in the future.
Hold one sec. Can we ask the council, can we bring back the screen?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
In 2005, the price of oil went up. It will probably continue to grow in the future. It's important to do these things now. Building a house doesn't really, there's a lot of concrete involved with pipes. Energy's cheap. Do it now. And Portland was very wise, like say these pipes are 90 years old, or do these things now because you wait later on, it'll cost more money. And really making a house, it's hard to say what a house is, but houses are made out of wood. And generally that's lighter and it'll truck. So do these things now. And in a post-Cold War situation, Portland was very wise to do the billion-dollar sewer plan. I'm not remembered to, in taking people off septic tanks. In the future, you just simply, it'll cost too much to do these things, and housing is kind of weird. It's mostly made out of all this nice wood we have in Oregon.
Thank you. This moves on to a second reading, and I'd ask the clerk to read the next item, please.
58, authorized price agreements with three firms for on-call civil engineering services, not to exceed $500,000 for each price agreement.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. We're joined today by Dave Peters, principal engineer. This item would authorize price agreements with three firms for on-call civil engineering services for 3 years. Take it away, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, commissioners. Appreciate the opportunity to be here today to talk about these price agreements. The Water Bureau, I'm David Peters with the Water Bureau, principal engineer over the engineering planning. The Water Bureau often needs specialty and support engineering services to aid in the delivery of their planning, their design, and the construction of their capital improvement program. These contracts help us by providing technical support for expertise we may not have internally. Some examples would be electrical engineers or structural engineers. These contracts also help us level out the service that we provide. We schedule our workload based on the number of people that we have, and as we have projects that come in throughout the year that may need to get addressed quickly, this allows us an outlet to complete those projects. This legislation will authorize three on-call professional, technical, and expert service contracts with three different civil engineering firms. And again, they'll support us in the development of our capital plan. Each contract will be $500,000 with a maximum term of 3 years on those contracts. The combined total of all three of those contracts, therefore, will not exceed $1.5 million. To utilize these services, we'll have an effort called a task order where we negotiate the services needed and provide the consultant a request under a task order. Those task orders cannot exceed $250,000 as in the individual task order and typically are much smaller. And we rotate through each of the three firms. So one firm isn't used all the time. We rotate through with each task order that comes up. We went through a standard RFP proposal process. There were 10 firms that proposed on this work, and we selected three of them for these contracts, and they were deemed as the three that best met the requirements of this proposal. All three firms had really good response to the disadvantaged minority women emerging small business criteria. The average of the three firms is about 36%. We had a low of 30% and a high of 45% with these three firms. The budget, the $1.5 million, is about 10% of our professional technical and expert services over the next 3 years.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying early. Percentage of what?
The percentage of our professional, technical, and expert services budget.
Okay, thank you.
So it's 10% of that budget.
Got it.
So about $5 million a year is spent for professional services. So 90% of the work that we do for professional services is handled with an RFP on a project-specific basis.
Okay, and then with regard to women and minority participation, those statistics are percentage of budget?
In this particular case, yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
Okay. Good presentation. Thank you, Mr. Peters.
Is there any questions on the part of the council? Thank you, sir. Is there any public testimony on this item? Yeah, you're free to go. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Alrighty. Good afternoon. For the record, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. And I just wanted to thank the mayor for going over both those percentage issues. It doesn't need to be explicitly in here, but one thing that would have made this proposal even better, if there was a little clause talking about STEAM, science, technology, arts and math as it relates to, like, it's a little tacky that to get workplace diversity, we actually have to mandate bring your daughter to work day type stuff. But and these are quality professional engineering firms, so that type of thing is already happening. But when we talk about the social costs of doing business in Portland, that's what we mean, is we want not only these firms to do excellent professional work, but to have an awareness that they're getting public dollars so that, for example, when we do the Mount Scott Arleta neighborhood thing, that girls especially who are sometimes face particular challenges getting into certain professional careers have an opportunity to interact with women who are working in those professions, hopefully in a situation where women can be extremely candid about their experiences in those professions. But so when we rotate this $500,000 through three professional engineering firms, the types of questions you ask, Mr. Mayor, lead me to believe that everybody on this council will work with where we see an increased situation where everybody in Portland knows that every type of work is open to them, regardless of their background, and so that, you know, somebody's daughter won't just see a bunch of dudes working on a sewer project. She'll see a diverse workforce, and the engineering firms doing that type of work will invite students to visit their offices. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further council discussion? This moves to second reading. Clerk, if you could call the next item.
59, authorize a contract with Pure Technologies U.S. Inc. not to exceed $3,610,710 for the Bull Run supply conduits.
Commissioner Fish.
Well, welcome back our friend Dave Peters, Principal Engineer of the Water Bureau, who just happened to be here for this presentation. Colleagues, there are three large conduits that transport our pristine Bull Run water to Portland. Installed in 1911 and 1925, conduits 2 and 3 are reaching the end of their useful service lives. To better understand the kind of rehabilitation and replacement options that will be before us, the Bureau is seeking your permission and approval to contract with Pure Technologies. This work is highly technical, with little or no possibility of subcontracting. The contract term is approximately 4 years, and our confidence level in the overall cost is medium. And with that, I'll ask Dave if I missed anything.
Well, that covered a majority of it, but I can run through and give you a little more of an overview.
Okay.
Again, my name is David Peters, Principal Engineer with the Water Bureau. And this procurement action will authorize a professional technical expert services contract with Pure Technologies to evaluate the existing conditions of the Portland Water Bureau's three large diameter steel water mains. And these mains transport water the 25 miles from the Bull Run watershed into the city of Portland and our large in-town reservoirs. Pure provides non-destructive examination technologies, which will inspect and assess the conditions of our conduits. And then they'll be able to take that information, provide estimates of the remaining useful life, and also provide options on corrective actions we can take to extend the life of those conduits. The final negotiated amount for this PTE contract is just over $3.6 million. It's been over 25 years since we've been inside the pipes to assess the conditions, and at that time it was just assessing them visually. And we have not done a comprehensive evaluation in the way that we're proposing to do with this contract. As Commissioner Fish pointed out, conduits 2 and 3 are fairly old, 1911, 1925, and are nearing the end of their useful life. So in anticipation of this, we require this assessment. This assessment came about in 2015 as we did a conduit rehabilitation plan that outlined a series of steps that we'll take to ensure the viability of these conduits into the future. And this is the first step in evaluating the conduits so that we can begin to put together the strategies for next steps to ensure their continued use. The work performed by Pure Technologies will involve a series of condition surveys on approximately 6 miles of each conduit. And then that will be followed by the data analysis and reporting of the findings. And they'll be using some high-tech tools that they'll be pulling through the pipe or floating through the pipe, depending on the individual sections, that will tell us a lot about the pipe, more than we can see than just by going in and visualizing it with the naked eye. They do this without damaging the lining of the pipe, and we also don't have to dig up major portions of the pipe to get this type of information. We've used these tools on smaller pipes throughout our system, so we have some experience with the information that we'll get and how we can use this to make decisions about improving our pipes. As mentioned already, a majority of that work will be self-performed by Pure Technologies and their subcontractors. The subcontracted element on this project is 11% of the total available to be subcontracted. There are nine firms that are subcontractors on this. Five of them are certified as MWSB. So at that point, I'll ask if there are any questions.
Colleagues, any questions? Is there any public testimony on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Okay, looks like there's two people who'd like to come on up. Thank you.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. What are the advantages of sitting here in person, and we've argued this, is that something comes up that stimulates a question. You can't do that from home. You can't do that from someplace else. It's very difficult to do that. So if you're sitting here in person and someone comes up with something that bothers you, you can come up and ask the question, and sometimes you get an answer. If you're going to spend millions of dollars on the evaluation of the pipe, was there any study done just to redo it? Take it out. Fix it. How much would that cost? Would it cost $10 million? Wouldn't make sense. Study it first. If it costs $2 million, why don't you just take it out and fix it? If you have a date on it, and I heard a date of about 100 years, why don't we just replace it then? I mean, 100 years is a long time. 74 is a long time, but 100 years is a lot longer. That's my question. Was anybody considering fixing it, replacing it? You're going to do a multi-million dollar study to find out what the damages are, the wear and tear on it, where we're going on this. And it's, what, 6 miles, I think, I heard. Why not just take it out and redo it? You have a brand new section of pipe, at least. And it may be cheaper in the long run. I don't know. Don't seem to be anybody studying that part of it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Nancy Newell, and I've recorded that already, and I just made a little bit of a mistake in coming in on the wrong number of contract. But even so, it relates. And to answer Joe's question, what's the purpose of the new pipe? Or what's the purpose of finding things wrong with this pipe? And is there different standards for the conduit so they're seeing whether or not the volume of water coming through it that may end up in Mexico doesn't satisfy the West Coast Infrastructure Exchange, which is a reality. And for Mr. Wheeler to say that what I said in my earlier testimony is not true, I would love to have a public debate because there's never really been anybody from the Food and Water Watch that we can invite in to debate the issue, because the debate was not allowed during the campaign. So people are not aware of this. They're not aware of the ramifications of this. I think it's only fair to the public because it's the essence of life once again. And I don't like when officials shut out the public. And you shut me out at the state treasurer's office when I started raising questions. You shut me out at a cafe that was part of your campaign. And I'm not sure that that accomplishes public trust in what you're deciding here. And I think you really should reinforce it, because we've had enough of the Warren Buffetts and the Enrons and running through the city and running rampant. And you know this. And I don't know how you're encouraging a pipeline company like this. I don't know that if you've studied closely enough their ethics, their true operations, how good they are. Do you listen to Food and Water Watch? Do you watch the safeguard of the people that have succeeded in their cases throughout the United States? I don't hear that in this council. I didn't hear it about Enron through the whole state. I was the only one that brought it to the Public Utility Commission, and exactly what I said happened. They overtook the electric grid and shut it down in California when they wanted to raise their prices. Water. Why are you playing with something that is so essential to people that water is being shut off right now, and all you're doing is trickling it in, and when it freezes, they don't get any water, and that's a violation of UN human rights. And I could call soldiers in here and say this city is violating human rights internationally. So I am making these points that are completely valid, realistic. I don't play games. I don't want to waste your time. I want results. I want some discussion. I want some time. This is something very big to be considered, and I think this is a ruse to get information for expansion, and I truly believe that. So let's be real here and get something done and represent the public. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Water is important, and the Bull Run Reservoir, to me, gives the image that the city of Portland itself is powered pretty much by Mount Hood. I worship Mount Hood. There's a Mount Hood Community College because the water is elevated. That way it doesn't have to be pumped with electricity. It puts it under pressure. It goes like this. Water runs downhill. It goes uphill, right, as long as it's lower than the other point. People don't know this about Mount Hood. There's six small-scale hydroelectric dams that make as much electricity as a Bonneville Dam that crosses the Columbia. So to me, when people talk about tapping into Columbia water or radon or electricity, the real truth is Mount Hood is awesome. It's a beautiful mountain. It's where you get electricity from, or at least a base part of electricity. It's also where you get this water from the rain. It rains a lot here. It rains a lot in Seattle. And go through New Mexico somewhere where they have these big, giant water tanks like at St. John's. They pump the groundwater right out of the ground, and you drink it.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's okay. Charles Johnson, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. And we're talking about the conduits that bring, as Commissioner Fish, I can't quite exactly quote him, but the great Bull Run water, these 100-year-old conduits that bring the Bull Run water down for its sad, sad fate of mingling with Columbia Wellfield water. That doesn't always have to happen, and it's balanced based on people who have a different idea of what's good than what my idea is. But Ms. Newell has talked to you about regional infrastructure and the fate of water. We know that there's a real polarized issue in a neighboring jurisdiction, Cascade Locks and Nestle taking water. So I think that our previous mayor used to be really excited about some West Coast mayoral things he did. And I think the way people in Portland have engaged about water, it's an excellent opportunity for the Water Bureau, the mayor, the new faces on the city council to be more engaging and even improve, even though we have the great numbers from the reports earlier. Now that we're talking about these 100-year-old conduits and our reliance on Bull Run water, to have public forums where people are engaged around water. This council, just 3 or 4 months ago, did something that was hopefully not just a symbolic token gesture. The council passed a resolution in solidarity with the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, who are battling, under the slogan in their language, Miniwakoni, that water is life. And that's one of the reasons this area is economically vibrant and flourishing, is the resiliency of the water system here that we're not going to let get privatized. So when people come up here and say hard, challenging things about the economic pressures to do this or that with the water, it's an excellent opportunity for all you city councilors, not just the one who's assigned the Water Bureau, to engage. And it's not always beautiful. Some people think that there needs to be a very strong headbutting and assertion against Governor Brown's failure to be more supportive of the people of Cascade Locks and their desire not to have their water done in a deal with Nestle. And unfortunately, you're not state treasurer anymore, so you can't get creative about ways that we can stimulate the economy in Cascade Locks and have people living near clean public water and still have good-paying jobs. But that's one of the things that Portland constituents look for, is for public leaders to engage around the most important issues. And water is right up there with keeping our homeless people from dying when they can't get the mental health services they need or the basic shelter they need. Thank you.
Mayor, I know it's late, but if you could indulge me, I'm going to have Dave Peters come back for a second and just have him answer three questions. Dave, welcome. The first question is, we had some testimony about why not just replace the 12 miles of conduits. Why go through this exercise of assessing the condition? What's your answer?
Well, what we believe is that the conduits are really in pretty, or major portions of the conduit are in good shape. There are 75 miles of conduit. We're only reviewing 18 miles, 6 miles on each of the three pipes. It's about $1 million a mile to go in and just install new pipes. So each conduit individually would be a very big effort to replace. So what we know is that there will be sections that will be in really good shape. We're just trying to find the sections that need either to be replaced or repaired. We're looking for more cost-effective ways to improve the condition of our conduits.
Actually, that answers all three of my questions. And the comment, Mayor, I would just also make is that to those who are concerned in the community about privatization of our water supply, let me just reassure them, this council fought a water district proposal, which many of us viewed as a Trojan horse for an eventual takeover of our supply by private forces. We have no intention of privatizing our water supply. And to those who are also concerned about expansion, let me be very, very direct. I wish we could sell more water. We are losing suburban customers. And by losing suburban customers, we have to share the cost of maintaining the system on a smaller customer base. So if I could be king for a day, we would not be having suburban customers opt out. We would have as many customers in the region as possible because that way we could share the cost. But there are no plans to privatize our system, and that would be fought tooth and nail by this council. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further council comments or questions?
No, that's
this moves to second reading. Sue, could you read the next item?